Genesis chapter 3, verse number 7. This week, the Lord was leading my mind and heart toward this thought this morning of a personal God. A personal God. And just amazes me sometimes that we have a God who created everything we see, created us, but still wants a relationship with us. He's a personal God. And in Genesis chapter 3, let's read the verses first, our text from the Bible, and then we'll look a little further into that thought. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 7, speaking of Adam and Eve, the first man and first woman, it says, "And the eyes of them both were opened." And this is after they partook of the fruit that God said don't. In other words, they chose to disobey God and sin. "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Where art thou?" The title of the message this morning is A Personal God. Let's pray if we can. Lord, thank you for this time again this morning to gather. We'll pray that you'll be with the kids in junior church, that you would strengthen them through the word of God, that they'd have a good foundation for their faith in you and in your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Lord, would you remove any distractions, any wayward thoughts, anything that would hinder this message from going forth? Lord, empty me of myself. I know it's not me. And how well I can speak or preach that's going to touch the heart. Lord, I ask you to fill me and to preach through me the message from your word that you have. And Lord, I just pray that your spirit would apply this message, this word, to each individual person. And that our hearts would be stirred and challenged and drawn to our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would help me to be clear. Lord, help me to have the right heart in mind as I preach. Give me the words that I need to speak. Bring to remembrance the scriptures that need to go forward this morning. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know or believe in Jesus Christ, that they would clearly see Jesus today and trust him for their very own. For those that do know the Lord Jesus and do have a relationship with you, I pray that you would strengthen their relationship today and increase their faith and help them to live out what they know is true. Bless and guide, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we read the verses, some comments here to start off is the beginning of the book of the Bible, which we know is called Genesis. It's in our Bibles there. This book of the Bible called Genesis records the creation of the earth and universe and all therein. And if you read it in the first few chapters, you see that, right? Right from the beginning, verse 1, chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In six literal days, the almighty, self-existent God spoke the world into existence. And on the seventh day, the Bible says he rested. It also specifically records the creation of mankind, starting with one man and one woman. Many of you say, well, I already know this, but just stick with me. This is good to remember. You know what I find as I go along in my faith is I forget some of the basic things and the basic foundational truths that we need to hear to build our relationship with God on. And so we read of one man and one woman created perfectly and taken care of preciously. Yet, we read that they chose to sin against their Creator and suffered the consequence of that sin, which was death, physically and spiritually, being separated from God forever. And can I tell you that mankind has suffered that same consequence ever since? The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And in Romans 6:23, it says, "The wages or the penalty, what we deserve because of that sin is death." And we see that in the beginning of time, in the beginning of creation with Adam and Eve, that they fell into sin. They chose to sin and have suffered that consequence. And because of that, the sin nature has been passed on to everyone ever since. Nevertheless, in these verses we read this morning, we notice something about God himself. And I want to kind of get our thoughts to God himself at this point. And we'll see some of these other things, how they come to pass as we go along. We notice this about God right off the bat as we read the verses this morning, he is a personal God. He is a personal God. By that I mean he's not a God who created everything and then backed off and disconnected himself from all creation. What kind of God would that be? All right, I spoke everything into existence. Man's created. I'll just step back and do your thing. Now, he allows us free will. We understand that. But he's a God who is personal. He is involved and can be involved in your life and wants to be involved in your life. You see, he connects, he communicates, he cares, he corrects, he calls, he commissions. He's a personal God. Mankind can know him. You and I can know this God who created all things. This morning I want us to see that the God of the Bible, the God of Christianity, the God of this book is a personal God. A personal God. We say that all the time, you can have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Absolutely true, but do we ever think about the fact of how personal he is? The kind of God that we serve and follow? The first thing I want us to notice is that he cares. He cares. Look at verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. In this instance, we see God, and if you read further, which we're not going to have time to read all the scriptures associated with this, but as you read further, you see that God was seeking out Adam and Eve to see what happened. Now, he understood what happened already because he's God, but he sought them out. Why? Because he cares. They had violated something for their own good that he had set up for them within a certain level of boundaries, and they had gone across and rebelled against that. And he cared about them, and he was concerned about them. In Genesis 1:29, turn back there if you would. Let's see how God cared for man. In Genesis 1:29, it says, "And God said, Behold, I have given you," speaking to man, "every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We see he cared for man's health. He cared for man in the fact that he created all that we see for our pleasure, for our enjoyment, and down to the very food that we'd eat and the oxygen that we'd breathe. He had provided everything to sustain man on this earth. What a good God we have. It wasn't some kind of science experiment. Let's create some people, throw them into this environment, see if they survive. No, he already created everything we needed to survive. He's a personal God, and the fact that he cares. He cares for man's health. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." You see, we're not just body. We're body, spirit, and soul.
That's right.
We're different than any other part of creation. And it says in verse number 8, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads." He gave them a beautiful place to live and provided their needs through that garden. Trees that bore fruit that was needed to eat. Water to take care of and plant nurture the trees and so forth. And he gave them an environment that was perfect. He's a personal God that cares. Genesis 2:18. "And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." In verse 20, talks about him giving names, but there was not a helpmeet found for him. Adam was all alone. What a life it would be to live all alone. I know many people are very lonely in this world. And perhaps there's no one that they can connect with or spend time with or that understands them in their minds. But there's still people around. Imagine being on earth, being the only person. And God said, and the Lord God said, he needs someone. In verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. There shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." The two become one. That's how it is in marriage. Two lives, two goals, two desires, two ideas coming together to form one and pressing forward as one. And they were both naked. The man and his wife were not ashamed. God performed the first marriage ceremony. Adam, here's your wife. All right, go forward. So he cared for man's health, man's needs, and man's companionship. A God that wasn't personal wouldn't care. A God that wasn't personal would maybe provide some things, but let them out on their own to go forward however they would want. A God that wasn't personal wouldn't see that there was, wouldn't look into someone's life and say he's alone, he needs someone, and provide someone matched perfectly for him. And can I say, God still cares for you today. He said, but that was just the first man and woman. Man, sin entered the picture. I don't see God caring very much. Listen, there's a lot of noise in the world today, but there's still a God who loves you and cares for you and provides for you and wants to be personal with you. Amen. You might not see it. You might not understand how he does it. You might not realize why he does it the way he does, but that doesn't change the fact that the unchangeable personal God of creation still cares for you. In 1 Peter 5, 7 in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter writes, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." So who else can bear our load? Only someone who's stronger than us. And that's the Almighty God, who flung the stars into space, who created all that you see, who formed man of the dust of the ground. It's the same God that loves you and that wants to be personal. He's not off in the distance somewhere in the universe that we can't connect with. He's someone who has sought to connect with us. We notice first in the fact he cares. Secondly, we notice that he calls. He calls. If you go back to chapter 2, verse 9. Or excuse me, it should be chapter 3, verse 9. 3, verse 9. I wrote down the wrong chapter there. Chapter 2, verse 9. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" He calls. He not only cares and showed he cares by seeking out Adam and Eve, just like he seeks us out today, but he calls. You see, God, being God, knew where Adam was. It's not like God lost Adam. If he's really God, and he created him, and he creates all things, and he's all-powerful, he's omnipresent, meaning everywhere at once, and omniscient, he knows everything. It's not like he lost Adam and said, "Oh, what am I going to do? I lost this guy I just created. I lost his wife." No. Now, he knew where he was. But here's the thing, Adam needed to know where he was so God could help him. Adam needed to know where he was, not physically, but where he was spiritually, where he was in rebellion against God, where his state was at that moment so that God could help him with it. God knew, but he wanted to draw to Adam's attention how far he came. God cared, so he called. Verse 21, "Unto Adam..." And this is what he did in showing he cared after he called to him. It said, "Unto Adam also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them." You see, he saw that he was in a situation of sin and disobedience to himself. And so he called him so that way he could help him. And he helped him by providing coats of skins for him. He had to kill some animals to provide the skins to cover up the nakedness which now Adam and Eve clearly saw. Once Adam and Eve saw their true condition before a holy, perfect God, God stepped in and provided what they needed. Can I say today, as he called, "Where art thou, Adam?" God's still calling today. Where are you? Not that he doesn't know where you are. Not that he has to find you. Not that you got lost. But that you're lost in sin, and I was lost in sin. And God's voice came, "Where are you, Paul?" And he calls to you, "Where are you? Insert your name." Not that he doesn't know where you are. He knows exactly where you are, but he wants you to know where you are. You say, "Where am I?" We're in the same condition every man and woman and child has been that's ever been born in this world. We're lost in sin. The Bible says we're dead in trespasses and sin, spiritually dead. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And God still calls every human being today plagued with the same problem of sin as Adam and Eve. But here's the good news. Just like he had the solution for Adam and Eve, he has the solution for you today. He has the solution for me today. Because God cared so much about us and our sin problem, he came down to earth 2,000 years ago and put on flesh as a man, as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to die on a cross for our sin that we can be saved. You see, he calls us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. He calls us through the fact of what he did on the cross for us. See, what did he do? The Bible says, but God commendeth or showed his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's his call. I came and I died for you. I love you. Your sin has separated you from me. And your only hope of heaven, your only hope of eternal life, your only hope of joy and peace in this life, your only hope of a right relationship with me, because I'm a personal God and I want it, is to trust my Son, Jesus Christ. The call still goes out today. Yes, the personal God of the universe is calling today. He's calling to you to come unto him. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. This is the call of the gospel. It says this, for I delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. Jesus died, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again, proving he is God. He's not just some good man, not just a prophet, not just a good teacher. And he was all that, no doubt, but he was God. And he put on flesh. You say, why would he do that? Because he's a personal God. Any other God that was impersonal, any false God of today, they're not going to sacrifice themselves for you. They're not going to die for you. They're not going to be personal. They want to keep their distance, but not Jesus. God came down to where we were at and showed his love for us. And showed that he wants it to be personal. So much so that most didn't even recognize him or acknowledge him as God. But his call still goes out today to every human being in this world, that sin will send you to hell and will separate you from God. And God doesn't want that. He loved you so much. He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come down to earth and die for your sin. He was buried and rose again. And all that will place their faith in him will have everlasting life. You see, he calls. He's calling you today. Will you answer back? With a recognition that you are guilty before a holy God. Not because you're some horrible sinner, but we're all sinners. And to God, that's horrible. Because our thoughts aren't always the way they ought to be. Because God isn't our first love. He's not the one that we love more than all things. Because we do a lie and cheat and steal. Because we do have wrong thoughts. Because we are unkind to people. Because we don't love the way God says to love. Because within us there's a desire for things that God says no to. Because of that sin nature, of course we sin. And that sin leads us to separation from a personal God. And the only way back is through Jesus. Will you answer back? He's calling you through Jesus Christ and his gospel. A personal God. Yes, we said he cares. He calls. But notice something else. He communicates. Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. Or excuse me, 3. I wrote 2 my whole message. When I say 2, you think of 3. When I say 3, think of 3. I can't even say it, so just ignore me. Ignore me when I give the reference and find it. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 10. Look with me. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. Adam says back to God. We get a record here. So how do we have a record? Because God inspired men to write this. How could man know this? Well, some men were there, but beyond that, God inspired men to write what had happened. This is a book from God. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, God said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? God already knew that he did. And the man said, the woman that whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Already shifting responsibility, right? Shifting the blame. Well, God, it wasn't me. It was this woman you gave me. You shouldn't have, you made a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. We're accountable for our own sin, amen? Each one of us shall give account unto God for ourselves. You won't give account for your husband or for your wife or for your children or for your parents. You'll give account for your own life before God. Doesn't matter if you grew up in a Christian environment. Doesn't matter if you know some Christians. You're accountable for yourself of what you do with Jesus Christ. And God didn't take that from Adam. Then he asked the woman, and the woman said it was the serpent. And fortunately, it kind of stopped there. And they suffered the consequence of their disobedience and sin. But here's the point I want to make is that this Creator God was communicating with His creation. Right? Let's not miss the point that God was talking with Adam and Eve. He was talking, He was listening, He was answering back. He had a conversation with Adam. In the Old Testament of the Bible especially, we read of God communicating orally with certain people. Often from a distance, sometimes very close. In the New Testament, listen, God the Son, Jesus Christ, comes down to His creation and walks and talks with mankind for 33 years. He communicated through Jesus Christ. Think about that communication from God. Think about how personal and real He got when God Himself, as a man, God the Son, has took on flesh and walked amongst this earth for 33 years. He got personal, although most didn't acknowledge who He really was. God has always communicated with people. Throughout history, God had been inspiring holy men of God to write down His words so that we may have a record of God's communication to us for every generation. In fact, it's more than just a record. These are ever-living words that speaks to heart and direct our way. Of course, I'm talking about the Bible. So many times I've read the Bible and God has spoken to me through it and applied it to my specific situation. How did I read something about me personally, about something in my life? No. Did I read about God say go this way in the Bible? No, but His Word is alive and powerful. And He takes it by His Spirit and speaks to us through it. Of course, Jesus is all through the Bible if you read it. And you see, and I've read through the Bible many times, in the story of Jesus and His redemption for mankind, and everything points to Jesus and His salvation for the world. And beyond that, He can help us to know how to live. You say, is it still relevant in 2018? Very relevant. I read it every day and I get something new to help me to live that day in a way that honors God and glorifies Him and helps me along the way. He gives wisdom and knowledge and understanding of things that I would have otherwise unless I knew the Bible. He helps us to navigate life's sticky situations and helps us to make some decisions in life and avoid sin and the pitfalls that'll drag you down in life. The Bible has the answers. Many people have been searching for this or searching for that, or science has tried to discover this, and if they just read the Bible, they'd get some information. Many times they've said, well, this isn't true or that's true, and then they find out it is, and it only confirmed what the Bible already said. You see, it's a living book. It's from God. And He still communicates today through this book. Most important, best sold, most powerful book there ever was. Because it's not like any other book. It's from God. It talks about God. And it tells us how to live for God. It doesn't have everything God knows because a book couldn't fill it. But it has everything God wants us to know. And He still communicates through His Word. He was communicating with Adam here. Now we have the words written down for us. In 2 Peter 1:17 through 21, it says this. Listen as I speak these words. For He, talking about Jesus, received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Talking about when they were on the mountain and some of His disciples were with Him, three of His disciples, and Jesus was there and transfigured before them, and they heard a voice from heaven. That was God the Father saying, this is My Son, in whom I am well pleased. And He says, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. He said, we heard the voice from God. We heard the communication going on, if you will. But He says this, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. See, what's that more sure word of prophecy? The Scriptures. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, and as the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so we have a more sure word. Why is it a more sure word? Because it's written down for us. And we know if we pass on a message verbally, that can get distorted and skewed and not be the same as what it started with. But when it's written down and God supernaturally preserves it from generation to generation, and we still have it today, then we know we can have confidence in it and understand God communicating to us, and it doesn't have to get all messed up. He communicates. To me, what a blessing that is. How often do we listen to that communication? How often do we pour ourselves over the Word of God? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick." That word means alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Yeah, let me put it this way. When you read the Bible, it reads you. You say, what do you mean by that? It reads your heart, and it helps to know what you need because the Spirit of God is directing it into your heart. It's a living book. And often when I read the Bible, and maybe I'm in sin, or I'm doing something I shouldn't, or my thoughts aren't right about something, or I have a decision to make, the Bible just seems to have the answer for me. You say, it's because you're looking for it. Of course I'm looking for it. I need the answers. But more than that, God is looking for me. And when I meet him in the Word of God and his Word and his communication to me, it speaks to me. And you say, I don't understand. That sounds weird. Well, try it. Read the Bible and see what it does in your heart. And see how it can direct your path. That Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And it keeps you from sin. That Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. He communicates. So how does he communicate? Through his Word. Through his Word. Yes, the personal God of the universe is still communicating today. You say, but the noise of the world is so loud, but if we just stop and listen, we'll hear it. But I'm too busy, but if you just stop and listen, you will hear his voice. Not audibly, I'm not saying audibly, I'm saying through his word and in your heart by his spirit. And it seems just as loud as if he spoke it to you. He still communicates. Are you listening for that communication? I can imagine Adam in the garden, just ignoring God. And you know, at first they hid. Often like what we do. God wants to speak to you. God is speaking to you this morning. God wants you to meet with him every day. And if we just kind of ignore him and go hide somewhere, go hide in our work, go hide in a different book, go hide in whatever we do day to day, and go hide in that, we'll never hear what God has in the solution for our problem. You see, God provided a solution for him. He communicated with him. Adam listened, no doubt understood where he was wrong and had to deal with the consequences of it, but he was able to listen to God. Lastly, we read he commissions. He commissions. We saw that he cares and he calls and he communicates. He's a personal God. He commissions. Look at verse number 23 of chapter 3. And I mean chapter 3 this time when I say it. Therefore, the Lord God sent him, sent who? Adam, as well as his wife, forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So God knew the limitations of man and particularly of Adam at this point. Adam had limitations. He had sin. Now he was to work by the sweat of his brow. And there were particular consequences with him, with his wife, with Eve, with the serpent. And he gave that all before. You have to read it all yourself when you have time. I encourage you certainly read through the book of Genesis, see what God did there. But we read he comes to this point where he sends him out of the garden to work hard and take care of the land God created and to raise a family to know this God and to live off the land, take care of the animals, if you will. And he sends him out and he commissions him, if you will, to do this. Based on knowing where Adam's at, his limitations, what he had just done, and what he needed to do from this point on. And can I say today, every person alive has a commission, a task, a duty after trusting Jesus Christ for salvation. We are to glorify God as we give out God's plan of salvation. Very simply, I know it's simple. And we each have specific gifts and abilities that God wants us to use for his glory and to help others. Certainly we understand that. But ultimately, at the core of what our commission is as human beings is to glorify our God, our Creator, our Savior, and to give out the gospel of Jesus Christ to let others know God has a plan of salvation for you. God has a plan of redemption for you. God has a purpose for your life and is found in Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Lift up Christ. Let God be known." In 1 Peter 3:15, we're told, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear." As others see your life wanting to glorify God, wanting to live according to his word, wanting to please him, wanting to do that which is right and the way God created us, others will be curious about the hope that's in us. Why do you have that hope? Why do you have that peace? Why do you have that joy? And that's an opportunity to point them to Jesus and say, because of what God did for me. Because I have a personal relationship with a personal God, the God of this universe. In all the Gospels, plus the book of Acts, disciples of Christ have the commission to go and make other disciples. In other words, spread the gospel to all and help others to know this personal God. Christians, this morning, are you taking up the commission in traveling life with it to the glory of God? In closing, let me say there's a personal God who loves you and who you must get to know. This God who created everything wants to know you. He already knows you, but wants you to know him personally. He cares, he calls, he communicates, and he commissions. Will you choose today to trust him as your Lord and Savior? Will you pay more attention to your God, Christian, as he seeks to connect with you, as he wants to communicate with you, as he shows he cares for you, as he calls you to himself, as he commissioned you to do something for him? Will you remember this is a personal God? This isn't some God off in space somewhere, past the planets and beyond where we could go. This is a God who, when at the moment of salvation, his Spirit lives within us. This is a God who is very near. This is a God who can communicate with you at any moment. This is a God who can speak to us and direct us and help us and wants to and will, if we'll sit still long enough to listen to him. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, would you please stand?